cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And in that hour of darkness, God had to turn his back to keep from looking upon that scene and sending those 12 legion of angels that Jesus said I could call for and they would deliver me from this hour. But he said, I was born for this hour. And he wouldn't let the devil, nor nothing they could do in the suffering, the torture, and all the indignities and accusations, he would not let it deter him from that moment that would come when victory, when he died, that was a victory. Praise God. He had to die. And that's the moment God turned seeming defeat into victory. And for those three days and nights that he was dead, he went down into the heart of the earth and he bruised the serpent's head. Serpent bruised his heel on that cross, but he went down to where the devil was and bruised his head hopelessly and won a victory for us. When he came forth, he said, I got the keys of death and of hell. Praise God. He came out and the defeat the devil thought he'd put upon him and all his enemies turned out to be the greatest victory that men have ever had come to them, offered to them, a victory that Jesus did. He won for you and I. What he did it for you. Me. Praise God. He won the victory over death, hell, the grave, over sin, over disease. He defeated the devil who had the power of death. Praise God that even a Christian, when you die, you don't really die. You just fall asleep in the arms of Jesus. The Bible said Jesus took the stinger out of death. And when he come out, he cried, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? I've got it. Here's the keys to prove it. Praise God. And that victory was for you. It was for me. And I'm going to accept it and I'm going to declare it. To preach as Jesus did in Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18. He said the Bible was given to him in the place of Isaiah. He opened the book and he read where it said in Isaiah 60, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, setting at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Praise God. When he read that, he gave the book back to the minister, and he said, this day, this prophetic scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Praise God. The victory is for you, and you've got to be mindful of it and realize what Jesus did. He didn't do it for himself. And on that cross, the Bible says here in 1 Peter, he says, by being him being in his own body, he bare our sins, that we being dead to sin should live into righteousness, by whose stripes, you have to remember that suffering, we were healed, ye were healed. For we were as sheep going astray. We'd all gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. That's from Isaiah. That's where he got it from. That was his favorite book to preach out of. I don't blame him all that prophecy about his coming and his suffering and all the results of it. Praise God. Through his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree by whose stripes ye were healed. I'm quoting to you out of Isaiah the prophet that foretold of my coming. Praise God, that wonderful grace that God provided and manifested through Christ in giving us this grace of salvation, forgiveness of sins, and the healing of our bodies, setting it free, as he said in quoting from Isaiah 61 and 2 in the 4th chapter of Luke, my goodness sakes, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Praise God. You just think of that. You don't have to go around brokenhearted. Jesus came to heal our broken hearts. He came to set at liberty those that have been bruised up by the devil, to preach deliverance if you've been captivated by the devil. recovering of sight. If the devil has blinded you, praise God, to preach Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm opening the cage and letting you out. Praise God. I tell you, at Calvary, that's where it all started. And that's where you got to look back to. See those people under the law? David, Daniel, Moses, all them fellas back there. They looked forward to that cross. They looked forward with faith. Abraham, he saw it. Jesus said, Abraham saw my, rejoiced to see my day. And the old Jew said, you ain't even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What made Abraham the kind of man he was? He was looking forward to the cross. We're looking backward to the cross. But that cross is a pivot. Praise God. That's what the whole faith of both sides of this thing, of the old church, the church of old, and the church of Jesus Christ, is hinged upon. It pivots upon. They looking forward to the cross in faith. We look backwards to that cross in faith and come up with a victory over death, hell, sin, and the grave, and all the calamities that the devil's plotted and planned for you and I. Jesus suffered on that cross and paid the price for you. Your sickness, your sins, your heartache, your loss, your captivity. Praise God to set us free and proclaim Jubilee. I've come to set you free. Praise God. As I said it before, Jesus Christ spoke more about freedom than all the reformers in history. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, I like that other verse. That's the theme of camp meeting coming up in April. John 8:32. Old Brother Greg stuck the paint that banner and put it across there. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. Freedom. That's the theme of this Bible. That's the theme of Christ coming into this world, is to set people free from sin and the consequences of sin. What results from sin and disobedience against God? And that is through pride, selfishness, and lust. All right, Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Praise the Lord. Jesus is not dead. He died and he rose again. He went somewhere. Part of that victory on that cross, you got to believe this too. This has got to be part of your consciousness. Hey, where is he now? Is he off on a trip? Is he off somewhere tending to the moon and the sun and the stars and all of that mess? No. This earth is still. Heaven is God's throne, and this earth is still his footstool. Praise God. That's what the Lord, what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, but where's the house you build for me? And where's the place of my rest? All these things of my handmaid, all these things I created. But to this man will I look, even to him that is humble and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. The man on this planet, the people on this planet, you, praise God, when we believe the Lord and tremble at his word, then we're going to be the object of his affection. His watch care, daily care over your life and mine. Praise the Lord. Now, where is Jesus now? Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Praise God. Where is he now? He's up there at the right hand of the Father. He looks down upon us. Didn't he see Stephen in the 7th chapter of Acts, his faithful martyr, a deacon in the early church? They took him out and stoned him. And he looked up and he said, I see the heavens open. And I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Well, it says here he's passed into the heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, he's our high priest. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You could turn that around and say it positively. We have an high priest that can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. come to the throne of grace. He's alive.